This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, it's Dave here. This is my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
And this is The Cinemile, the podcast where we walk home from the movies. Today we're going to go see a movie called Wish, the latest Disney animated studios movie that we're going to go see with our two boys. How are you feeling about this one, Kathy?
I mean, I'm excited to see a Disney animation in the cinema. I feel like it's been a while.
Has it
Their
been a
last
while?
Big movie was The Little Mermaid, which we didn't see, which was live action.
Yeah.
So I think it's been a while. It's a nice like family trip. I'm interested to see this movie because I can't figure out what it's about from the trailers other than that somebody makes a wish.
It's about a wish.
And I hope that's not the whole plot.
There's a star?
Yeah.
Or something? I think this is the origin. There was a lot of eye rolling about this because it seems to be the origin story of the wish, of this Wish Upon a Star from
Pinocchio
or something.
Because it's 100 years of Disney.
Yeah, so it's Disney's, you know, centenary celebration movie, I think, that they've spun a story out of.
I've seen eye rolling too, because people are like, I've just seen a few headlines of people saying, oh, it's just like a cynical marketing ploy. I don't agree with that, because I actually think if you've got the richness and the history that Disney has in terms of creating animation, you absolutely should reference it on your 100th birthday. So I disagree with that objection. However, I'll wait and see until we see the film and like how we actually feel about it and how they've done it. So I'm keeping an open mind, and I can't say our kids are particularly excited for it either. Like, they've seen the trailers. The trailers haven't resonated with them either. So
yeah, there wasn't much excitement when we said we're going to go see this.
Yeah.
From them.
They were like, yeah, cool, whatever. Like, they get to eat popcorn and stuff.
They were like yeah, that, they're more excited about that.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, I'm looking forward to watching it, and I think like it's a lovely thing this time of year to go to the cinema as a family.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just happy to be going to see a Disney movie. I mean, like, they don't usually disappoint.
Yeah, they
might
be great.
When was the last disappointing Disney animated movie?
No, like we're two people who watched the Paw Patrol movie recently. So like,
yeah, I mean, like,
you know, it's going to be better than
that. I'm sure it's going to hit a certain standard. Yeah. It looks quite beautiful from the trailer. So.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it, but I think they'd be struggling getting people in with between the title and the trailers.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's not,
I wonder,
interesting,
there's
looking.
No buzz around this. But then no. Frozen, before Frozen came out, nobody knew what that was either, right? At least, I mean, I gotta at least respect them for trying to create something new. It's not
the same. Yeah,
it's not the Little Mermaid remake, which is just bankrupt.
Yeah, exactly.
As a concept.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, right? So okay. We'll be back after we've seen Wish with, we're gonna see it with our kids and then come back without our kids.
Yes.
Bye.
Once upon a time stood Rosas, a most magical kingdom. Founded by a king with the power to grant wishes.
You are their handsomest, most beloved king.
You're right. I am a handsome king.
I'm so nervous, I think I'm going to explode.
My best friend, the king's apprentice.
My mouth drooping? I feel like it's drooping.
Asha, come with me. The wishes of Rosas.
Whoa.
People give their wishes to me, and I grant the wishes I am sure are good for Rosas.
Some of these will never be granted.
Not some, most.
They deserve more than
I decide
what everyone deserves.
So I look up at the stars to guide me.
I wish.
And throw caution to every warning sign.
Oh, you spoil us with your magic.
I didn't do it.
What?
Hi, we're back. We have seen Wish, and if this is your first time on The Cinemile, there's no spoilers for the movie Wish until there will be, which will be clearly marked as Spoiler Street. It's cold.
It's freezing.
It's very cold. So we're going to keep this brisk, our walk. So keep the pace up, Kathy. Mm-hmm. Come on, faster.
Yeah, I am walking slowly because it's so cold.
Now, what do you think of that movie?
I actually had no
sense of you from the body language because our kids were between us.
I know, yeah.
And I couldn't see you. We should say we had the entire cinema to ourselves, the four of us, which is our boys' first experience of this. It's a rare thing for us, and it's so...
It often happens us too, but it never happens with kids' movies.
Yeah,
they were thrilled.
Did we see Evil Dead by ourselves? Oh no, two people came in just as it started.
I've been a few times in very quiet cinemas in Ireland, but never a kid screening on a Saturday afternoon at noon.
Which is a bad sign for this movie.
Very bad sign for which.
I actually
don't know what the box office numbers have been, do you?
No, I don't.
However, that being said, it was on like every hour. So when I was leaving, I said to the guy, like, oh, that was nice, we had the cinema to ourselves. And he said, oh, the 1 o'clock screening was a lot busier. So anyway, the kids enjoyed that, that's for sure. And they also really enjoyed the movie, by the way, both of them. Really, really liked it. I really liked it as well. Like, at the very beginning, I was just kind of like, I want to put aside all that stuff that people saying is like cynical and it's a cash in for 100 years, and I just wanted to enjoy it for what it was. And I really did, actually. I really liked our main character. I loved Chris Pine as the villain. He was amazing. And there's a couple of banging songs in there, albeit like you wouldn't say it lives up to like, you know, a classic Disney in terms of the soundtrack. But I do think there's a particular banger with This Is The Thanks I Get from Chris Pine, which we'll play at the end, which is really good. And then I just enjoyed this. I actually thought they did with the wish stuff, and we'll talk about it in the spoiler shoot, was actually lovely and had some meaning behind it. So there's more depth to the film than I was expecting. I thought that was really clever what they did with the wishes. And I found it a really enjoyable family film. And then I loved Pepper throughout, and I'm sure I missed most of them, but I caught a lot of like references to classic Disney movies within it, which again I don't find cynical. I think you're paying homage and respect to, you know, the breadth of films you have. So I enjoyed all that. And then in the end credits had like, you know, all the kind of old Disney characters and stuff popping up. So again, I enjoyed all that stuff. But Dave?
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was good. I didn't think it was great, but I had a really good time with it. I laughed out loud a few times. I thought the animation was stunning, beautiful. Mm-hmm. A lovely mix of kind of 2D watercolor and sort of 3D CG graphic animation. I don't know the ins and outs of it.
It was lovely.
Whatever it was, it looked beautiful. It looked like the Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild video game, that sort of style.
Disney-looking people.
Yes.
Where they draw their faces. And
exactly, it felt like a lovely combination of 100 years of animation, you know, from, because it did feel like a nice throwback, just visually, to some of that older style. And then, as you said, there's a lot of references. It almost felt like a remix. It was like taking a lot of the iconic Disney stuff, some of which we'll mention in Spoiler Street, and just remixing it. You know, what if the Seven Dwarves, but this.
Yeah.
You know, and I quite liked that as an idea.
I like that too.
And I don't think that's cynical. I know, as you said, a lot of people saying, I think Disney famously do a lot of very cynical, awful stuff, as mentioned, The Little Mermaid, all these like live-action remakes.
No, we haven't seen The Little Mermaid, though.
No, I haven't seen it, to be fair. But
you just mean live-action remake.
The whole concept of just going through their back catalogue and making these, the ones we have seen have been pointless. The Lion King, pointless.
We don't mean that specific film.
That's a cynical move that has no value. This feels different. This feels like a company taking a well-deserved victory lap after 100 years of creating some of the most iconic. They basically invented like animation, right? Or they popularized it. It's incredible.
That, when you wish upon a star.
Yeah, they play that. They weave it in nicely. Yeah. So
and Chris Pine is so good. I'd watch a whole nother film with his character.
Here's the thing, Chris Pine, great
and we
villain.
We have to say, our kids are like nearly 4-year-olds, properly scared by the baddie, which I think is a good sign. Like, he wasn't terrified, but he was cuddling into me. They were laughing along, they were singing the songs when we were driving home. They wanted us to play the soundtrack, and they've been talking about it all afternoon. I mean, that's all good stuff from a kid's perspective.
That's,
you know,
all the stuff that you expect from a Disney animated movie. That's the stuff, that's the things we felt when we left the Beauty and the Beast in 1991, and you go to McDonald's and you get the toy, and then you think about all the, you know, characters, you want to see it again.
Our 3-year-old already saying he wants to see it again and go back to the cinema to watch it, because so, he understands release schedules and that it's not on telly yet somehow.
So I would say that's the main thing. I would say Disney still doing the same thing that they did in the 60s for an audience, in the 70s and so forth, back, I guess, back to the bloody 20s, 30s and 40s with Snow White. Like, they are capturing the anime, the imaginations of children, and turning them into the next generation of animators and storytellers. So it's a lovely thing, this generational legacy. At the end, this isn't a spoiler, but in the end credits of this, you know, they pay tribute to every single movie that they animate under their studio. And we sat there and kind of just watched each one, you know, like, oh yeah, and yeah, there are a few misses in there, but on the whole, it's like, wow, you're like just incredibly, like, what a roster.
And they have, you know, Disney are guilty of a lot. In terms of, like, how they always chose to, you know, to tell particular stories about, like, white characters. They put girls in certain brackets around them being princesses, etc. They often used to have very, like, dark-skinned baddies. They have perpetuated a lot of bad things, narratives, like cultural narratives. But I think Disney's really working hard to not do that anymore. And I wish they hadn't perpetrated them for so long, I acknowledge that they are really trying not to do that. And it's funny because our 6-year-old, from seeing the trailers and the pictures, was like, oh, that's a princess movie. I don't want to see a princess movie. And I was like, obviously, first of all,
she's not a princess, raging. Firstly.
But I was like, well, she's not a princess, though. She's just a girl. And he was like, but I could see, and he's not able to articulate it, what he's thinking is, but it's a Disney movie and she's a girl, ergo she must be a princess. Even he's already soaked that in.
Yeah.
And then he was really delighted that it wasn't a princess movie and all the rest of it. So it's interesting, like, when you look back at the old movies, like, they're pretty dire, the princess stuff. But, like, now, well, I like that they're moving along with the times, and I thought the lead character in this film was awesome and I loved her. And we should probably go to spoiler street, should we?
Can I just say two things on that front? One, this isn't forgiving Disney at all in terms of their history, but that is a reflection of the society at that time. I think they did nothing to challenge that and only reinforced the issues of those decades and decades.
They had a lot of power, like they could have, you know. That's the thing when you look back.
I also don't give them any credit for making really I think they're riding on a trend for the past 15-20 years, maybe. That, again, they're just following society. Society is asking more of its media. And I think Disney, now you have to give them some credit for trying to improve representation in their movies, and I think they have done that. But a lot, you know, I don't think they have pioneered that, right?
No, they're not.
They're just following consumer demand.
Once again, following trends.
Yeah. Anyway, but I will say, before we go to spoiler street, so all of that, I got a good warm feeling from this movie. I think it did its job. It clearly worked for our kids. I think well-deserved victory lap for Disney animation. But this movie itself, I mean, it's a bit, I don't know, it didn't really 100% connect with me. It doesn't feel like an instant classic the way you watch Moana or something and you're like, whoa.
Moana's this is, next level.
Moana though. Is just fully formed as a story, characters. This just felt like there's a lot of ideas in here, but it's a little muddled. I think the villain, big tick, great. Asha, I like as a protagonist.
Yeah, really.
Then there's all this other stuff going around, which we'll talk about in spoiler street. There's a lot of swirling supporting characters around her, and none of them really click. The star was like
so
indicated by the trailer to be really important and kind of the core of this, but is very adorable and will make a great toy, clearly. But I'm like, it doesn't really feel that central to all this, and it feels very. You know, it feels like it didn't achieve a lot in terms of its plot. So it feels very slight.
The star was like more of a driver. And then the talking donkey goat thing was very cute. And in the traditional Disney way of like having a very cute animal character.
Yeah.
That really worked. And our kids loved that. And like at one point the goat like opens the door with his butt and he's like, I move that with my butt.
Yeah.
And the kids were like, yeah.
I mean, I thought that was funny too. So there's a lot of good stuff in here. I don't think it all really comes together. I don't think, so I think this movie made me appreciate 100 years of Disney animation. It didn't make me come away and think, wish this is going to be a classic which we're going to rewatch for the ages. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't feel like, it almost feels like this movie doesn't necessarily deserve to be in that same stable.
I'm actually trying to think, the last kind of big movie in this vein was probably Encanto, wasn't it?
Encanto,
which,
yeah.
Which again, this doesn't really
which
come
I thought,
near.
Again, and you talk about the music, there's two good songs in this. There were a few songs which I was like, this, I looked over to you at one stage and I said like, I was trying to say S-H-I-T to you. Although
we were just talking out loud because, like, we were the only people there, but also you can't curse at your kids.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to go to Spoiler Street, but I agree, like, it's not quite in the league of We Don't Talk About Bruno, but the Chris Pine song was awesome.
Yeah, that was good, to be fair. Okay, before we go to Spoiler Street for this movie, we are going to take a quick break.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Right, so spoilers now for Disney Wish.
Disney's a wish?
Disney's wish. This is Disney's wish. My wish is that we spoil this movie. The songs that didn't work, like there's a whole revolution song where the queen joins them and there's all these kind of, you know, shadows and there's some clever stuff in there, but it's like that just didn't land for me. A lot of the songs I thought... didn't land. Now sometimes
didn't land, but then Elliot, our 3-year-old, was like asking for different versions of that song. Like he knew all the different.
No, not
versions.
That song.
Or just he seemed to have really followed the songs. And again, like we're not quite the target demo. We do need to look at how younger kids respond. So.
Well, he was asking for one of the good songs. There's two really good songs
there's
in this.
Yeah, two really good songs.
And the, and the rest. This is my point. The rest. It's like a low quality ratio of songs.
Then when we think of like Encanto,
I think.
Like, do you remember any song outside of We Don't Talk About Bruno? Because I actually don't.
Well, yeah, I'll give you a good counterpoint. So there's a song at the beginning of Encanto where she gives a sort of a tour of the village, mm-hmm. and you meet all the characters, and it's just a real like belter. It's not like necessarily catchy, but
sing
it's
it first.
But I notice not necessarily catchy, but it's got incredibly good. Lyrics, it's very funny and does a good job of introducing you to the characters. This movie attempts a similar thing with Welcome to Rosas.
Yeah.
Which I found instantly forgettable. Like, tell me anything about Rosas.
I can tell you there's a lovely king, and the only thing you need to get sanctuary in the kingdom, this is where on Spoiler Streets, is that you arrive. They'll give anyone sanctuary, but in return, when you turn 18, and this is the stuff I thought was clever, You make a wish and then he mines it in this kind of cool wish room, and there was like some Fantasia elements to some of it, and then they kind of live in like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory type kind of room full of bubbles, and then every month he'll grant a wish, and then she kind of finds out that he basically decides what wishes to and to not grant based on his own opinions and how he interprets them. And then she kind of makes a wish upon a star which falls down, and then she kind of suddenly has magic to challenge him. I enjoyed all the stuff a lot. And then he's kind of not a bad guy, but he's played by Chris Pine and he's super vain. And then he kind of delves into this book of forbidden spells, becomes really dark, and starts basically like inhaling people's wishes to give himself power. He takes the power of the main character's mom, the wish of hers. And what's so cool is when he kills someone's wish, aka takes it to give himself power, it's almost like they lose a piece of themselves. And I think the message of the film is like humans need hope and things to aspire to, because as soon as you've given him your wish, you forget it, and it actually results in people being like very depressed and distressed because they've lost like a core part of them. And I liked that. That's the bit that I was not expecting from the film, and I felt like really elevated it.
Yeah, and I really liked that as well. I liked how they tied it into, you know, he is essentially a benevolent tyrant, right?
Yeah.
At the beginning of the movie, anyway, like he is, you know,
he's full power, but he's nice enough.
He sees this. Well, he sees him. He sees, and I think a lot of this happens with dictatorships, is that there's a perceived benefit to the wider community. I'm doing this to keep everyone safe.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to protect this at all costs. You know,
and he's fine until he's challenged.
And I thought they give you just enough of a backstory with that burnt sort of relic of his past on the wall, like his family and village had been destroyed. So it's like more dimensionalization than Disney villains usually get,
yeah.
Which I think is good.
And he's very charismatic.
And he was very entertaining. Chris Pine did a great job. So really good, memorable villain. I think he was probably the best thing in it. I really liked Asha as well.
Yeah, I loved her.
She's the one from Hamilton and Schmigadoon.
Yeah, so she's brilliant.
Lovely singer as well, and she's got nice character.
She's got the really good thing about a Disney main character, which is like she's really trying to do better.
Yeah.
And she's very earnest, and I'd say she's a touch of Moana about her character.
And I like this idea of like community working together, and like people, you know, the people. She doesn't defeat the villain; the people do.
They all have
together.
To work together. Is lovely.
Yeah, exactly. So
now
that's
the Easter egg. The main Easter egg I copped onto was, I was like, why does she have so many friends? It was an odd amount of friends in every scene, to the point then eventually I turned to Dave and said, oh, they're the seven dwarfs.
Yeah, yeah, seven is such a particular amount.
Yeah, and there was like a sleepy one, a dopey one, but it took longer than I expected. And then the more I looked at them, the more I realised, like, the friend who was the Doc character, she actually, how they did the drawing, I don't know, but she actually had Doc's original face when you really looked at her face. She had his clothes, his glasses.
Yeah, dopey. The dopey character has dopey's hat.
Stuff. There's definitely Fantasia references. I thought there was Beauty and the Beast references when they were like going through the woods on horses. Bambi's in it as a character. So I just got a kick out of all that stuff. Call it cynical or whatever that you might want to call
it. They're Easter eggs.
And I enjoyed it.
But they didn't get in the way.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't think.
Like, I really liked the... I really enjoyed the character of her friend who, like... I think he might have been the sleepy one, but he was just like... He was so sad since he'd given away his wish.
Yeah, and I like this idea that like, your hopes are part of you and they drive you forward. And without that, he just became, kind of lethargic.
Turned on his friends, because if you are hopeless, you will do things that maybe you shouldn't do.
Yeah.
And then she forgave him. Thought the messages were all lovely. And then I just love the kind of reference to Snow White at the end when the really kind of narcissistic... self-loving baddie ends up being banished into a mirror.
Oh, that's great.
And he also in one of his songs was like, mirror, mirror on the wall. Like,
he says something
really
like that.
Good.
The only thing that didn't, the most clunky reference I thought was when there's a bit line at the end where she gets the magic wand, Asha, and then somebody says, you can be our fairy godmother.
Awful.
I was like, you didn't have to just say it.
That was awful. I didn't get that.
Also, it's a phrase that nobody would say.
Yeah.
That's an expression. Why would you say that?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
So specific.
Especially
she's not a fairy, and she's not your godmother. I just don't understand.
Though there was a visual reference to the Cinderella fairy godmother, wasn't there, when that thing was crawling up the trees and
that was
like the pumpkin.
Yes, well, that was the Cinderella whatever carriage, right?
Yeah. Anyway, I enjoyed it. I'd be really interested to hear what our listeners think. If you're like veering on the it's crap cynical territory or the kind of quite enjoyed it territory that we're on. Now let's play ourselves out with This Is the Thanks I Get. And thank you for listening. Let us know what you thought.
I actually thought that other song was better, the one about the wish that was in the trailer.
No!
Yeah, the one at the end where they all sing it together.
Yeah, but This Is the Thanks I Get is a villain song.
I mean, yeah,
it's a good song.
They were the two best songs.
Yeah,
that's what I said, yeah.
So we'll play that now. Thank you for listening. Let us know what you thought. And if you have a minute, please subscribe and rate us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It makes a big difference to us.
Yes, or you can email us. We like getting emails, thecinemile@gmail.com, or we're on Instagram or Letterboxd at thecinemile.
Bye.
Bye.
I'd give the clothes off Benito's back. If you really needed that, I'd be the first one to volunteer. Henry, if your home were to crumble, or if you were in trouble, I'd let you live here for free, and I don't even charge you rent. I clean up all your messes, and I'm always there when you need to vent. I give and give and give and give. You'd think they'd all be content. And all I really want is just a little respect. And this is the thanks I get.